as we're hearing, Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin are hiring a tutor for their five-year-old, but the prerequisites, as we said, include ability to teach tennis, sailing, and ancient Greek. Dr. Mark Turin is director of the World Oral Literature Project and an expert in ancient Greek. Hey, Mark, welcome to the programme again.
Hello, hello, but I'm not an expert in ancient Greek. Ancient Tibetan and other Himalayan languages I can do, but Greek, I'm a total failure.
Mark, you could have got away with that because, you know, I wouldn't have picked that up. You could have just bypassed me on that one, Mark.
I could have done, but I want to be very frustrated.
Mark, ancient Greek, why would that be a prerequisite for a five-year-old, do you think?
I think there's two things going on here. One is a sense that it's important to know history and culture. And, you know, ancient Greek kind of summarizes all of that, like Latin. It's the embodiment of learning, of a tradition and history. On the other hand, though, there's something very dynamic about these old languages. You learn a great deal about your own languages by studying languages like ancient Greek or Latin or Sanskrit, because they have incredibly complex grammar and beautiful ways of expressing things. So while I think it's kind of an amazing job requisite, it is also quite clever of them to say, we want our kids to learn it.
Because it's bedrock, isn't it, a language like that?
I think it is, yeah. I mean, I speak from ignorance, again, because I don't have ancient Greek, but people who have it are able to understand grammar of other languages much more comfortably. I'm actually in the Netherlands right now, and I'm always amazed by how many people in Holland speak two or three or four languages quite comfortably and quite fluently. Now, not all of them study ancient Greek, but just multilingualism, the ability to speak lots of languages comfortably, is something that most of Europe has.
Where did you pick up your skills in language? And the other thing I wanted to ask you as well, Mark, was, is it a learned skill? Are people naturally good with language and others not?
I think anybody can learn languages if it's well taught. And one of the tragedies of the British education system right now is that we don't teach languages very well, whether they're modern spoken languages or kind of ancient classical languages. I was fortunate. I grew up multilingual. My father was Italian, and my mother, who's here with me now, is actually Dutch, and we speak Dutch together. So I grew up with a sense of many languages around me, and I think that helped me learn other languages.
I wonder how that works in the brain. Because Rob, who does a programme after me, he presents Mondo Italian on a, I think it's a Monday night, and he goes in and out of English into Italian. It's almost like, it's like a roller coaster of linguistics.
I think you're right, that actually when you speak more than one language, it kind of opens your horizon. Now, it doesn't mean that people who don't speak anything other than English or French or something are less intelligent. Not at all. Simply that their horizons are more constrained. I remember growing up learning French at school, and to me, to learn that there was another word for a dog, another word for a cat, was not surprising. But there were kids next to me who were surprised by the very fact that one animal could have more than one name.
Cat, chat, what is it? Is it... I'm trying to think of the right... What's the right name for a French cat?
A chat, indeed. But the interesting thing is that animals in different languages sound differently, right? So a dog barking in French or Italian or Tibetan makes a different sound, or at least in terms of how people define that sound and describe it, if they're writing it in a cartoon.
Right.
Dogs say woof in Dutch.
Woof?
Woof, 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 woof.
Woof, woof.
That's right. You're almost fluent.
Right.
Yeah.
And would a German dog be different? I wouldn't suppose.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. German and Dutch dogs are very distinct from each other. They can't stand each other like the people.
Right. So how would a German dog sound?
You'd have to ask a German that.
Good shout. And a Tibetan dog?
Tibetan dogs, I've forgotten what they say, but they do say something else, and actually they're quite ferocious. You stay away from them. But I think back to the point here is that languages do broaden the mind, and there are lots of studies of kids learning language when they're young, and it just shows how totally magnetic they are. I mean, they just suck up languages. So hats off to Gwyneth and her partner for actually deciding that language is important enough, right, to expose their children at a young age to these different languages and kind of broaden their experiences.
But what's the chances of getting one that can speak Greek and fluent in Greek and sailing and tennis?
You know, I can do none of those things.
Yeah.
You're asking the wrong person, but I'm sure he or she is out there and they're going to make a tidy packet when they get employed.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Hey, Mark, great to talk to you. Ruff, ruff.
Hey. Ruff, ruff. Bye for now.
Bye. Dr. Mark Turin there, Director of World Oral Literature Project, and an expert in ancient Tibetan and not Greek.